I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, I have acquired great wisdom surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my mind has had great experiences of wisdom and knowledge, and I applied to my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a chasing after wind, for in much wisdom is much vexation, and those who increase knowledge increase sorrow.
I said to myself, come now, and I will make a test of pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But again, this was also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my mind how to cheer my body with wine, my mind still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, until I might see what was good for mortals to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and of provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and the delights of the flesh and many concubines. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem, and also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart for no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all of my toil, and this was my reward for all of my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I'd spent in doing it, and again, all was vanity and chasing after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun.
So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the one do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise have eyes in their head, but fools walk in darkness. Yet I perceived that the same fate befalls all of them. Then I said to myself, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said to myself that this is also vanity. For there is no enduring remembrance of the wise or of fools. Seeing that in the days to come all will have been long forgotten, how can the wise die just like the fools?
So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me. For all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun. For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for mortals than to eat and drink, and to find enjoyment in their toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For the one who pleases God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, God gives the work of gathering and heaping, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a chasing after wind. Thank you, Kenny. So what do we make of this long speech by Solomon, and who do you think he might have given it to? Who got to hear these words first? I have no idea. There really is no answer to the question. But as I thought about Kenny and other graduates, I thought, you know, this does sound a bit like a graduation speech. So I wondered maybe if King Solomon gave it to Jerusalem High, let's say in 3020 BC. And those poor graduates stuck there listening to all this rambling on with wise advice about life before they're sent off into the world. So what on earth is he talking about? Well, basically he says, everything you've learned and done up to this point, forget it. And you're thinking, well, then what was the point? And he says, all that you've tried to accomplish and achieve, your high school education that you've worked so hard to obtain, set it aside. Because that itself is not life. But what will you do with what you have learned? How will you apply that in the world and in the living of your life? How will you use the knowledge that you have acquired to do something useful in the world to give you a sense of happiness? And I think those are the questions that are raised in this part of Ecclesiastes. And it's not a bad address to give to someone who's graduating and moving forward in life. So I'm going to give you a very Reader's Digest condensed version of the long speech. And there are four elements where he says happiness cannot be found in those things themselves. And it really, as you hear it, it's a self-analysis of his situation in life. The wisest and the richest ruler of his time, and basically says, none of that has made me happy. So it then asks us the question of the day, what would make you happy? So there's King Solomon counting all of his riches, and he still can't answer the question. First, he says, happiness cannot be found in education. Now, that's a very odd way to begin a speech to a group of those graduating. But I think he has a point there that I just reiterated. If you go to school and you accumulate all of your diplomas, and Kenny, you're probably going to accumulate a few more. I have four to my name. Basically, they may help you forge a way in life to do some of the things that hopefully will give you happiness and a sense of meaning and purpose. But I can tell you, if I hung those four diplomas on a wall somewhere, which they do not appear, I could look at them and not be able to say those made me happy, because they didn't. I enjoyed the pursuit, or I wouldn't have done it. And they rack up a bit of debt that you have to deal with, but they themselves and the work that I accomplished does not make one happy. They won't give you that sense of satisfaction. But it's how you apply the wisdom and the knowledge that might help you answer that question for yourself. The second thing he goes on is probably not bad advice to give to a group of young people at a graduation speech, that happiness will not be found in the pleasures of life. For Solomon, it was wine, women, and song. not a bad speech to give to young people. What he's saying is the things in life, your possessions, or the things you're striving to possess, are not going to give you happiness. And Solomon can speak the truth to this because he has most of the possessions in the world, as you saw from that long section of the reading. And you know that from your own experiences, don't you? The more we mature, the more we realize that the things we own sometimes own us. But they do not give us ultimate happiness. And then he says, happiness cannot be found in wisdom. And in this section, he seems to be speaking primarily to himself. Because he's bragging enough to say, I'm the wisest man in the world here, and it hasn't made me happy. So how would any wisdom that you obtain make you happy? You could be wise all you want, but it's not going to give you happiness. It's like the first one. It's how you apply your wisdom that you can find happiness. We are probably at our saturation point of wisdom in our world. We've about accomplished, I think, anything that there is to be accomplished. You can go anywhere you want in the world in less than 24 hours. Your grandparents could not have done that. You have an instant communication device. Many of you have it in your pockets and purses right now. You know anything that's going on in the world in this moment in time, your grandparents did not. The world has become a very tiny place in which we live. But how have we used this wisdom and this knowledge to really improve the plight of the peoples of the world? The same crises that face us were the challenges your grandparents faced and dealt with. So wisdom needs to be applied if it's going to have some value. And the final one is for all the workaholics in the room like myself. Happiness will not be found in the work that you do. You don't believe me, go over to Mountain View Cemetery and spend some time going down a row reading the tombstones. I venture to say you will probably come back, and I will give you $10 if you can bring me one, a photo of it that says where somebody put down what they did for their work on their tombstone. It's not recorded in what's important in life. Maybe your experience of work will go something like this. I see it happen at Kaiser on a regular basis when I have colleagues retire out of the department. On a Friday, we give them their little goodbye, thank you, retirement party. They then go to their cubicle or desk with their little banker's box, and they fill up the mementos that they had there through the years, and they leave. And on Monday, there's someone new there taking on their patient load or their work. And maybe in the course of time, somebody might say, anybody heard from old Joe? I wonder how he's doing. And nobody will have a clue. And no one's going to remember the work that you do. But somebody will be there the next day doing what you're doing today. And you can get all of the Employee of the Month awards you want and little recognitions. But if all you do is work, that is not going to make you a happy person. It's interesting that Solomon lifts up those four things. Somewhere you can find yourself in that list, I think, of realizing that was not the source of your happiness. Now, in the text, he won't answer the question yet. You'll have to sit with Ecclesiastes a little bit longer to get that. But I want to bring my thoughts on this question. And I really have to say, what would make me happy? Because you have to find the answer for yourself. Because your happiness does not depend on another person. It depends on what you can find inside to give you joy and satisfaction in life. So what makes me happy? I realize that ultimately it comes down to two things. Contentment. You think about that word for a minute and what it means. Contentment. and experiences, not things or not using people for my own good, but experiences of life are what make me happy. I've got 6 experiences that matter to me, and maybe you will resonate to some of them. I need the experience of watching the sunset in the evening and hearing the first chirp of the birds in the morning to remind me each and every day that I am alive. I need the experience of a rhythm of life that is balanced, key word, between work, rest, and play. I still have a lot to do in that area. I need that to remind me that I am a whole person. I need the experience to have meaningful work so that I can contribute to the world. And I need that meaningful work to remind me that my labors are not in vain, but have some sense of meaning and purpose for someone else. I need the experience of having someone to love, to remind me that I am connected to that person, and that person is connected to me. I need the experience of watching a young child at play before the world told them not to play and imagine. This young child who is lost in all of the awe and wonder of the world, to remind me that this is how I'm going to find the kingdom of God. And finally, I need the experience of realizing that there is a spiritual force out there larger than anything I can understand, to remind me that I have a place and a home that is beyond this place and home. God wants us to be happy creatures. I have no doubt about it. I don't know if Solomon ever found his way to true happiness, but you can. I will tell you, it's not going to come in something you can purchase. So if there's a price tag on it, I would run in the opposite direction. Because the true treasures of life are free. Find your treasures. Build your life around them. And how will you then be able to answer our question from this section of Ecclesiastes? What would make you happy? Amen.